Hey everyone, welcome to this special episode of Optimism Show. Actually, today we're going to chat about what I've been working in these past few months and what actually is working for us on all the different platforms that we're publishing content on. What are the key things to consider for platform growth? What has been working? What has not been working? And pretty much the philosophies of how we are approaching content and how content that will grow. So that in a nutshell, what we're going to cover today with Vittorio. So really looking forward to this episode and let's get started. First, we're going to go with what has been working so far and our focus on YouTube mostly.
Yes, let's get this started. Guys, it's amazing to be here. First episode for me, the other side of the Optimism Show for the first time on camera. It's great to
be here. Actually, it is the first time.
It is the first time. Great to be here. Great to be on cam with Chris. And yeah, really looking forward to this. And let's just discuss what has been working for us and our various considerations on the platforms and how we've been experiencing exponential growth in the last couple months.
Yeah, exactly. First, maybe let's get started with YouTube and what are the changes that we did over there and the realizations we had. Because like in the first 9 months that we started Optimism Show, we had like, what, 50,000 views, if I'm not wrong?
Yes, 50,000 views. That's correct.
And then like July, August, we pretty much doubled that.
Yes.
And this past 28 days, we tripled it, like all of it combined. So we're crossing over 300K in total.
Yes.
So, like, and we've been testing multiple things, like, with the main focus on YouTube. But, yeah, the main focus was really, one side, the content quality, the content focus, and the content volume, I would say, we should cover. So, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we realized that short-form content nowadays is the trailer and is the fundamental part to cut through the noise and to be able to reach your target audience and redirect them then to the long form content, which is actually where the main value is for podcasters and content creators. And we were experiencing some issues with continuity in for the volume of production of these short form content. And by leveraging the system that we've created in the last month only on YouTube, we experienced an exponential growth. We got up to 167,000 views only on YouTube, and we were very curious. Initially, we were of the idea of only focusing on the quality of content to be able to have something that was standing out from all the noise and all the bubbles of noise over there. But then we actually realized that since there is all this noise, to actually cut through it, you have to initially become part of the noise to then find your people, find your audience, and then redirect them to that longer form content.
Yeah, and one thing I'd love to add over there is, like, as you said, like, we're focused very much on the quality, and don't get us wrong, like, we still believe, like, quality is number one. But especially right now is how fast things move. If you're focusing just on long form content, a lot of people will never click on your content unless they have like a short trailer. Even like, regardless if it's older demographics or younger demographics, like, they would never watch your long form content if they don't have snippets. Like, think of what Joe Rogan is doing and how a lot of people are just consuming Joe Rogan through shorts, and then they would watch an episode here and there, which in of itself is pretty long. But not many would make the commitment. And one thing there with the short form content I'd mentioned is that we've seen quite some increase in the long-form content views as well, and people are staying for longer as well, if I'm not wrong.
No, absolutely, because the thing is that especially if you're a new creator and you don't have that authority yet and people don't know that they can rely on your content being consistently high value, you need to initially get them through the short form, because realistically speaking, people nowadays are not willing to commit to a video which is 20, 30, 40, an hour long without knowing exactly what is inside of the content. So having that snippet or knowing who you are and being sure that that hour, that half an hour that they're going to commit to your content, they're actually going to gain value from it.
Right, it's essentially using the short form as trailers for the long form.
Absolutely.
And on the other side, like I would love to touch on the psychological side of short form content, like structuring. I know you've been focusing on that a lot more, like the titles and approaching short form content, what works, what doesn't, like things like that. I believe would be great to cover.
I mean, consider we have a podcast which is pretty niche, and we have a predefined target, but interviewing people that cover different aspects of businesses within blockchain. So let's say people that are more technical and people that are more on the business side of things. We still have a pretty wide audience. So I would say that is important to understand who are you targeting with that short form content. So let's say if you have an episode regarding user engagement, user growth, and user retention, who you're targeting actually is realistically people that are working in game development. So if you want for your short form content to be boosted by the algorithm, you have to use titles that push on game development, user retention, and use those keywords that people are actually searching for. Obviously, hashtags are very useful, and you understand which hashtags are mostly used, and that will allow you to then have your content targeted towards those specific people. Then, obviously, the more content you put out there, the more the algorithm is going to understand which audience is actually interested and which audience is maintaining their attention throughout the entire short. So the more volume of content you have out there, the more your content is going to be successful.
Yeah, would think of it like from an analogy of, I would say, like what Hormozy is doing. I believe, if I'm not wrong, he's putting like 450 content pieces out a week, but also consider that he has an entire team. Like we're just two. So what we leverage on that side is automation, actually a lot of automation, where we built our own system that pretty much replaces Hormozy's team to a certain extent, of course. And to be able to push out this much content. And right now we are gradually increasing, but currently we're posting around 12 shorts a day just on YouTube, and also building presence on eight different platforms, expanding always to more platforms, regardless if they're niche social media platforms or more, or just the general social media platforms like Instagram and TikTok, building presence there. And one thing that I believe is super important here is, regardless if you're just producing content for the sake of producing content, you're a creator, a podcaster, or your content has a particular goal to get people to a certain thing, that is to buy your offer and similar, what I believe is really important is to build your own distribution where you have this network, so that essentially is like your own mini media empire, where regardless of what you are selling, it is catering to your target audience and specifically to your audience psychographics. We're gonna touch on that in a bit, and meeting them where they are at, and then staying top of mind. Because it seems lately what we've noticed, like one of the main things when it comes to content growth is volume. Like, yes, absolutely, it's quality, but people are so busy and people are like, the attention is, I would say, like fractured to a certain extent, that you have to show up more.
You have
So
to
like
show up.
the
Yeah, you
yeah.
have to show up on your feed. And also another consideration that I think is quite interesting is that initially when we started, we had in mind like our target audience, what it would be. And we were thinking of like, okay, our target audience is going to be focused on these particular socials. But one thing that we can do with an AI system, which can automate a lot of our content production and distribution, is that without any extra effort, we can then distribute that content on all the other platforms, which are eventually bringing the targeted audience back to our main socials, such as YouTube. Because for as much as, let's say, TikTok is not fully in line with what we believe is our target audience, a fraction of that audience on TikTok, because it has such a massive reach, is very much going to be interested. And the commitment is minimum. So it's just worth to expand and be able to have all these different touch points where then you can eventually find the exact target audience that you're looking for.
Yeah. And it really helps to see the content distribution channels as sort of like this funnel. So you have YouTube, Instagram, TikTok that are meta threads as well that we're expanding to soon that are very broad in a sense. Like you can go super broad on these platforms, go for views, and then gradually trickle down the audience to other platforms, such as, for example, a newsletter that is more specific, is more catered to your audience, that then you can sell offers to a lot easier instead of just fracturing it all and posting here something and posting there something. And one really important thing that I believe here is to mention is that you should not disregard, especially if you have a niche audience, you should not disregard new social platforms such as Farcaster, for example, especially if you're in the tech space, or Blue Sky or Mastodon or anything else that is really coming up, because there you have a chance to build something a lot faster and usually a lot more committed people you will find in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And also it's the same logic of new socials that we saw with Instagram or with TikTok. So the first people that are actually to build a consistent and significant audience on these platforms, you're kind of betting on the platform itself. So once the platform is going to explode, you are going to explode as well because you already are defined and you have a less competitive environment. Obviously, it depends what kind of content you have, but if you're able to manage this distribution from one central system, the actual commitment that is implied to produce and distribute this content is so much more limited. And we are the living proof that you can do that with only a two-person team, which is something thinkable of only a couple of years ago or a year ago or whatsoever, when you needed a full-on team and having different payrolls. And yeah, just the expenses were crazy. And if you didn't have like a sustainable income source of a certain level, you just couldn't keep up that production.
Yeah, exactly. Like that also makes perfect sense. So right now you have this opportunity to really go broad, to really build something that lasts, and then just figure out what you're going to sell and how you're going to monetize as well. One thing I'd love to touch on, let me know what you think of it, is like really how we approach the audiences, because we tried approaching audiences from different aspects, especially with AI. We tried going the old way, which is pretty much, okay, our target audience is crypto founders or founders and startup founders in general. It wasn't the best. Like, where I think like were the biggest improvements when we started focusing on the psychographics, in the sense of what are the thoughts, what is the psychology of that audience rather than who they are.
Yes, absolutely. I think that if you understand where they are at and what kind of information and what kind of format of information they're looking for, you can then provide the exact kind of content format that they're looking for. And the thing is that by expanding to so many different platforms, so much different styles of and format of content, you can meet people exactly where they are and exactly how they are looking to receive this information. Because as we know, there's different kind of people that perceive and need different kinds of content to learn. Like, for example, myself, I'm a very visual learner. So I'm not really going to listen to something that is just talking. I'd like to see exactly with my own eyes how things work. And that way I'm actually going to learn and I'm going to be much more committed to be there and to sit through a 30-minute, 45-minute video content.
Yeah. Actually, thank you for touching on that. And I think, like, especially with the distribution aspect and like the AI repurposing, this plays a big role. Is that right now, like, what you have, like, it's important to understand the opportunity that you have as a content producer, as a creator, which is pretty much on the side of, as Vittorio said, like, he's a very visual learner, And you might focus on the like watching the video that is more visual. But then there's also people. For example, I myself, I learn a lot more from either doing things or reading things. And by having like both the visual content on one side, like the videos, and then you have a newsletter, then you can have an audio version of that newsletter. You have the podcast, which can be very like once you set it up, it's pretty much it can be done automatically with AI. You cover all these different groups of people that might learn and that will consume information in different ways. So your audience does not grow just gradually, but it can grow exponentially in a very short period of time after you have this implemented. And you meet them at all these different places that you're at. It's essentially, I would say, like customizing content to a large extent to the audience that you're targeting
Yes.
and the different consuming styles in there.
Yeah, exactly. Because the same target audience that you may be focused on, within the same target audience, people learn and consume content in different ways. So the best way is to meet them exactly there. So they don't have to put that extra effort, which nowadays we're not willing to do because there's so much noise, there's so much content, there's so much opportunity to learn from us for somebody else. So I'm going to go exactly to the style I want. And if I'm catering to a specific target audience in all the different styles, I'm then, as Chris said, I'm able to grow exponentially.
I'm gonna take a step back here, like with the core curious approach, like on top of the psychographics. Like once we got done the psychographics of the target audience, what I really believe is super important is that right now you have the like even previously you had the opportunity to do that with a team usually, but right now you have the opportunity to do it with a very small team, like something that you can focus your entire media on one core audience and then make variations for the complementary associated audiences that might be interested in your content. So for example, our core audience being like also our guests are sort of our core audience, which are like crypto builders, crypto investors, but more on the institutional side and people that are mostly interested in the business of crypto, so not necessarily just trading. And then there is like through that, there's so many insights that are uncommon or not often seen in other sectors that our complementary audience is vast. So there's startup founders, which is an already vast target audience, is what we'd call like our curious audience on top of our core. So we cater while we focus our content on serving the core, like we repurpose it also for the curious, and our reach expands exponentially. And there's viewers and people coming from different directions.
Yeah, one thing I'd like to add there is that for as much as Chris was saying, that the people that we interview are also our core audience, is that the crypto and blockchain industry is a new and modern industry. So people are taking business practices and actions that are pretty revolutionary in very much different styles of approaching business. So what we can do is that by covering this aspect, because we do keep it on the business side, is not a too technical podcast, we can actually create content that people that work in different industries that have nothing to do with crypto could learn actual interesting new ways to approach business, user acquisition, user retention, game development strategies, and whatsoever. And then they can apply it to their business, which has nothing to do with blockchain. Maybe it's just on tech, fintech, or startups in general, because a lot of these teachings that these people are sharing can be applied to pretty much any kind of industry.
I would absolutely agree with that. And it's something that is new to a lot of industries. And you can go vice versa. Like, also, what is new in some other industries, or what is commonplace, I would say, in some other industries can be brought to crypto and it would be completely innovative and revolutionary, which in essence is how a lot of innovation happens, is taking from one industry, implementing it in another. And where that, like, we're using a similar approach to that to really bridge those audiences, like bridge an audience that is let's say, startup founders, introduce them to this new aspect that are crypto startup founders, and really speeding up the innovation in both sectors.
Yeah.
So, and actually driving better results.
Yeah, and also I think that a common misconception is that specific businesses live within their own bubble. But one thing is that by leveraging the knowledge of people that work in a different sector, in a different bubble from yours, you can actually grow so much more because you're learning things that you're just are not present in your common life and with people that you speak that are near you and within your own industry. Because realistically speaking, if you work in blockchain and in crypto, the people that you will be having a conversation and talking about business practices, what do you think about this, what do you think about that, are people that most probably are within the same bubble itself. And actually, as Chris was saying, it is quite refreshing to listen to somebody that is an outsider and can give a different perspective that actually clears some things and can allow you to take a different approach, which is an approach that may be exactly the approach that you have to take to actually have success within your industry.
And also one thing I'd love to add there on what you just said is the fact that if, especially if you're building a startup in today's space, like as much as distribution is important, the other aspect that's super important is gaining that advantage. Because a lot of people that you might be copying or looking after or that are your competitors, they're more or less doing the same things. So just by doing the same things as they are doing, you cannot expect a different outcome. Like you have to try something different. But usually what happens in these bubbles is that it's so limited in the amount of things people are doing that if you don't look outside and bring it inside, it's never going to happen until someone else does it. And this
Yes.
is what gives you that either temporary or sustainable competitive advantage to really build an empire, to build a mini monopoly of your own and stand out even with that particular sector. So you don't really have competition. You cannot be compared to the others.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, if you wanna stand out from your competition, you have to experiment, you have to try out new approaches, and then make your considerations because obviously, with experimentation, you can't always be certain that things are gonna work. But then you can draw conclusions on, like, okay, this is really cool. This is worth going down this route and trying this out. This is working. And then I'm pretty sure that, check out your competition and they're gonna be doing the same thing.
The other thing that we are working on right now is also like merging, in a sense, the reach and the media company that we're building and a monetization strategy that are pretty much intertwined with each other. Because we're in this industry that is super tech forward, like the blockchain industry, and we're actually at an intersection. Like when people see Optimism Show, I think most of the time they think of like, okay, these guys are in crypto. We're actually like in the intersection of three industries, like the intersection of the attention economy, blockchain, and AI. And one experiment that we're doing over there right now is also launching a community of other companies that would like to join this intersection, which we believe is can bring exponential growth to other companies. And we're combining automations as well and software, like custom-made software, to reach this growth with a very small team at a very cost-effective rate. That is something where we're launching a community soon. We're starting to install the automations we're using for other companies as well. So feel free to send us a DM. We'd love to have a chat. Let's see what we can do together. And that is one important thing that I believe a lot more should consider.
Yeah, there are so many valuable projects, so many valuable tech companies, creators, and the main problem that we've seen by talking with all of these entrepreneurs and content creators is distribution. It's just because there are so many valuable companies, there is so much valuable information out there, but actually, restating what we were saying before is to cut through the noise, you need that volume of distribution to actually get that audience interested maybe in your content or in buying your software and whatsoever. So we believe like we are leveraging the system and is really helping us to bring the things to a next level. So we do see the opportunity in the market for people to leverage this technology as well and this expertise that we've gained throughout these months, this year, that we've actually undergone this path of content creation, podcasting, on-chain media, interviewing blockchain entrepreneurs. And it caters to people that are looking for different outcomes. Let's say if you're looking for sponsorships because maybe you're a content creator, obviously the sponsorships are based on the views and the numbers that you're actually able to provide because the sponsor wants their face out there as much as possible. But let's say instead if you're a blockchain company and you're selling tech and you have a coin, for example, we all know that apart from the actual value of the tech, the speculation aspect is probably the biggest driver of growth of the value of a coin and increase of market cap. So if you have more eyes on what you're doing and you have that increased visibility by increased distribution, you can grow exponentially.
Yeah. That's another perspective. Thank you for bringing that up. One other perspective you can see that from is that regardless of what you're doing, you should still consider yourself as a media company, especially now at like the opportunity being right now. Like there's not many at the top that are gathering a lot of the attention. Like it's still very fractured. So it's very much a market share race. If you capture on one side, if you see it from this perspective, like if you literally capture a bunch of attention of the target audience or target audiences that you're targeting, that you're going after, and after that, you just need to sustain that attention. Because people are going to say you have the distribution already figured out. So it's very much a market share race of who captures the attention and then maintains it.
Yes.
And every company, regardless of what you're selling, regardless if you're just a team of engineers or your solopreneur, solo builder, is about building that distribution, building that network where you can distribute content, which eventually it won't only allow for sales, but also on the other aspect of like it will open up a lot more partnership opportunities. You can do cross promotions, cross selling, bundles. You can really sell anything to that audience. Not just by treating yourself as a tech company or a this company or an agency, but by treating your company as media first and also communicating what you're doing through that. Because yes. In the end, that's what it boils down to. Like a lot of people are just tired of bullshit content in a sense, because there's so much of it, honestly. Yeah. Like especially with shorts and everything, there's so much content that's absolute nonsense and clickbait.
Yeah, I agree. And also another aspect is the fact that you have your own in-house media and your own distribution is not visibility and organic views and interactions are not based on a third party. They're not based on paying for KOLs, which work, they don't work. You're not paying a marketing agency or you're not paying a famous crypto magazine to feature you on their page for one day for who knows what costs and who knows what the actual benefits are going to be, but you're able to do something which is sustainable, it's long-term, and it doesn't come with an exaggerated cost that is actually going to compromise your operations.
Yeah, I fully agree to that. One other thing that I'd also put in there is that like KOLs, like if you see like KOLs are getting published in a magazine or whatever, why, in my opinion, why it doesn't really work for a lot of companies is not the fact that they're not getting the visibility, but it's the fact that you're most likely not keeping that visibility. You're seeing that as just one bet. Like, I'm betting this, I'm going to get sales from this. Like, yes, you might. And even especially if you look at the KOLs and in the crypto projects, you might get the visibility. But if you don't have a way to sustain what you're getting in, like that attention that you're getting in, those traders that are coming in, you're going to lose it very fast. So even if you look at the spikes of this strategy, of those campaigns like KOL campaigns that have worked in the past, it's very fast spikes up and down. It's rarely that it sustains. And if you have like your own media distribution, on one side, you're making a lot of your paid efforts a lot more efficient. Because
yes.
on one side, you look a lot more professional, blah, blah, blah. And the other side, which is the longer term benefit that I see over there, is that if you have media, especially in-house media that is automated to a certain extent, or to a full extent, and you have the distribution up, even if you're going after sale of your company, exiting your company, that can add a lot of value to your company, especially now with no-code tools that anyone can just copy-paste your entire company. I mean, depending on what you build, of course, but a lot of companies are very copy-pastable. Someone
Exactly.
can take a few months, build something, or build a fraction of what you're doing, and just grab a bunch of your audience.
Yes.
While in the case where you have the media, now you don't only have the attention of people, you also have the market research. You also have the market data on what to even go and sell. And you can just expand into pretty much unlimited verticals, or just horizontally expand as well, or do both at the same time.
Yeah, and as you were saying, the thing is that there are so many businesses that are replicable and so many competitors that are pretty much offering the same exact service or good. But the thing we can see clearly in the market is that one of the most important things is brand authority, in the sense of like once you are perceived in a certain way and once the consumer is used to position in his head, he positions you as the go-to option for that service, for that good. He's not really willing to consider the alternatives because he knows that he can get that quality of service or that good from this company that he trusts, that has his authority, that has been delivering through time at this level. And therefore, he is going to continue being your client.
Yeah. Absolutely agree. And like to really see the clear example of that, I would say like follow us and see what we're doing as well, because we're directly implementing these things, like see the offers we're launching, see how we're handling things firsthand and how we're experimenting, what we are experimenting on. And I'm pretty sure like especially if you're building something that will last, you can see a lot of things that will be translatable to your own business.
Yeah. I agree, and I really enjoyed this conversation, and I'm looking forward for you guys to follow our journey and see what we're up to. We're continuously experimenting, adding new features, trying out new things, and seeing firsthand on ourselves what works. We're gathering the data, the insights, and we're applying those to increase our output, our quality, expand to all the platforms, and follow along for the journey.
Follow along for the journey. It was really awesome having you here today and looking forward to doing more of these, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a great time. Let's do it again.